I want to take for a text this morning the opening verse of Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. The explorers and adventurers of our modern age seem to have rediscovered of late the great challenge of walking vast distances. It's not so very long ago that I remember hearing of one woman who has just completed her walk right around the world, walking in every continent from one end to the other until she had walked around the globe. There are those who, from time to time, set out upon the great trek to either of the poles, walking on foot to the pole, following in the footsteps of those great explorers of a bygone day. But you know, walking these vast distances is nothing really new at all. If you read this chapter 12 and the final part of chapter 11, you'll discover that God called Abraham to set out on a great walk. Although the word walk isn't used in the English of our reading here today, yet in the original language the word walk appears a number of times. In chapter 11 and the verse 31, we read there at the final part of the verse, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees, literally, to walk into the land of Canaan. Chapter 12 and the verse 1, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, literally, walk out of thy country. Chapter 12 and the verse 4, So Abraham walked. Verse 5, the final part of the verse, they went forth to walk into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. The last verse that we read, verse 9, and Abram journeyed, walking on still toward the south. Again in verse 19, the same word is used. And over again in this portion of this of the Word of God that deals with Abraham, you have the thought of walking coming up. How God called him to walk from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. Now that trek took him across almost 1,000 miles through some very rugged terrain, through some very hard places, walking on day by day from Ur on in the direction of Canaan. His walk is, of course, symbolic of the Christian walk, the walk that the child of God has to engage in, walking with the Lord through the great plains and wilderness of this life. As we consider that thought then of Abraham walking with God, walking from Ur to Canaan, I want us to consider this text in chapter 12 and the verse 1, and just simply to learn some truths concerning the walk of faith. If we look at the text, we will see, I think, in the first place, that the Lord is central in a walk of faith. The Lord holds first place. He holds the place of priority and prominence in the walk of faith. You'll see there that the Lord had said unto Abram, Walk out of thy country. If we ask ourselves the question, how or why did Abraham begin this great trek? Why did he begin to walk? How did he begin to walk? Well, we are forced, if we want to find an answer, to go back to the Lord, because it is with the Lord that the walk that Abraham engaged in had its origin. for some 70 years of his life, Abraham was quite happy and contented in the land of the Chaldees. He lived in the city of Ur. We're told that he lived in a life of sin and idolatry. In Joshua chapter 24 and the verse 2, that he served other gods in that city. He was happy there. He never had a thought of God. He had no thought of leaving Ur of the Chaldees. But then, we read in Acts chapter 7 and the verse 2, in that great sermon of Stephen's, that the God of glory appeared unto Abraham, our father, when he was in Mesopotamia. God himself, the God of glory, came to Ur of the Chaldees. He sought out Abraham's house, Abraham's family, and he came and he showed himself to Abraham. And in that moment, God saved Abraham. We're told in the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, and the verse 22, that the Lord redeemed Abraham. And from that moment of conversion, from that moment when the God of heaven appeared to him, showed himself to Abraham, the idolater, converted him, redeemed him, brought him to himself, from that moment, Abraham began the walk of faith. He began to walk with God. Because the Lord had sovereignly intervened in his life and conversion, there was a new principle now at work in his heart. That principle that he would walk with God. He belonged to the Lord now. That's one of the ideas in the word to redeem. The Lord had bought him. He was the Lord's now. He was bought with a price. And he must therefore walk with God. Now, you'll not find any other reason why Abraham began this great journey. The only reason is that it began with God. God intervened in his life. Abraham didn't one day set out from Ur on some wild goose chase and then suddenly the Lord stepped in and took over and began to guide him. It's not the way it was. Abraham never had a thought in his mind of ever leaving Ur until God moved in his heart, until God saved him, and there and then began the walk of faith. No sooner had he met the Lord than the word of God came to him to leave that place. He's just a new child in the faith. The Lord speaks to him. He hears the word of God, and it comes as a call. Abraham, get out of thy country. Leave your kindred. Leave your father's house. God called him to a life of walking by faith, walking with the Lord day by day, going further along the way that God had planned for him, to leave behind the city of his birth, the city of Ur of the Chaldees. Conversion must always be followed by progression. See, the Lord didn't appear to Abraham and leave him in Ur. The Lord appeared to Abram and saved him, and then the word came, Abram, you've got to walk. There must be a walk. You're going to walk with me, Abraham. You're going to walk after me now. You're going to walk in the way that I'm leading. And you'll see by looking at the text that Abraham was prompted to walk with God by the word. It was the word of the Lord itself that prompted Abraham to leave Ur and to follow the Lord. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham. It was the spoken word of God to Abraham as an individual. That word that Abraham knew unmistakably in his heart was the Lord speaking. That word of God prompted him to do what he never had any thought of doing before, getting up, leaving, and going after the Lord. The Lord had said, walk. If you look at verse 4, Abraham walked according as the Lord had spoken unto him. It was the word of the Lord that stirred him up to follow his Savior and Lord. It was the word of God that came and commanded him to leave and that guided his footsteps. But the word of God not only prompted him to step out in faith, going in a way that he had no idea where it would lead, for we're told that he went out not knowing whither he went. The word of God not only prompted him to do that, but I believe that if we consider the verse, we'll see that God expected that the word of the Lord would govern every step that he took. It wasn't enough just to start. It wasn't enough to begin at the command of God, but that command, that word of the Lord, had to govern every step he took from that day on. You'll see in the verse 1 that it says, "Now the Lord had said." That's a reference to the fact that the Lord had spoken to Abraham in Ur. Where was Abraham now? Well, we look at the end of chapter 11 and we find that he's only part way to Canaan. He's stuck in Haran for 5 years. Approximately, he had stayed in Haran. God expected Abraham to keep walking. We find him stuck in Haran at the end of verse 11, and again in chapter 12, the word of God comes back to us and says, "The Lord had said to Abram." He had said in the past, and because he had said that word in the past, he expected Abraham to still be obeying it, to still be walking. But sadly, Abraham had listened more to the word of his old father, Terah, rather than the word of God. Terah, of course, would picture for us the old nature within, the old man within our heart, that will of self, that will of the flesh, and how often the will of the flesh is contrary to the word of God. But yet the Lord says in chapter 12 and verse 1, bringing Abram back to the original message, bringing Abram back to the original word, as if by way of rebuke, and says, "Abram, you're not to listen to the will of the flesh. You're not to listen to Terah. You must only obey the word of God. It's the word of God that must govern every step that you take." We read in verse 9 of how Abraham walked on toward the south. Later on in the chapter, Abram makes another mistake regarding his walk. He takes into his own mind to decide how he will walk himself, for when the famine comes, he thinks it's much better to walk to Egypt. The Lord had never told him to walk to Egypt. Again, he forgot about the principle that the Lord had taught him, that it was the word of God that was to govern every step that he took. He put the will of self, his own will, his own mind, above what God had said. But this verse brings us back to the simple principle that when the Lord speaks in his word, he expects that word to be obeyed, not just one day, not just 2 days, but every day. Continually, day by day, his word must govern and guide all the behavior of the child of God. As we think of this walk of faith, we have to say that it began with God, for no sinner can walk with the Lord. Abraham didn't walk by faith until God had redeemed him. Abraham didn't walk after the Lord and with the Lord until God had converted him from his sin. No sinner can walk with the Lord until he is redeemed by the grace of God and comes to Jesus Christ for salvation. No saint can walk with the Lord and ignore God and ignore his word. If you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 13, you'll see this point made by Moses as he addresses the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 13 and the verse 4, he says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." What's Moses saying there? What's the Lord saying there? Simply this: if you're going to walk after the Lord, then you must obey his word. You must seek to put into practice his commandments, his voice, his word. The child of God cannot be said to be walking with the Lord if he's ignoring the commandments of God. In the second place, you'll notice in our text that there are things to be walked away from. As he sets out upon that walk of faith in response to the word of the Lord, simply just obeying what God has said, for that's what a walk with God is, just simple obedience, just putting into practice what God has said in his word. And as Abraham begins that walk, to walk with the Lord means that he must walk away from his country, from his kindred, and from his father's house. If God is to hold first place in his life, if God's word is to be obeyed, then Abraham must turn his back on these things, because God and Ur are going in two different directions. God and Ur are diametrically opposed one to the other. If Abraham's going to walk with God, then he must leave Ur. He must break the link with Ur. He cannot stay there and live in obedience to the Lord. He cannot still hold on to that place. He cannot hold on to these things that are mentioned in verse 1 and be a follower of the Lord himself. He must leave the place of his birth. He must leave the sinful influences of that place. We've already made allusion to the fact that it was a city of idolatry. It was in the land of Shinar, the land of Chaldea, the land of Babylon. It was part of the kingdom of Nimrod, of whom we read about just a chapter or two back. The rebel against God. It was a place of vile sin, rebellion against God on every hand. How could a man walk with God and stay there? No, the link had to be broken. The link had to be broken if Abram was going to walk with the Lord. The Lord was going ultimately to put nearly 1,000 miles between Abram and this place. And every day he walked with God, he was getting further and further and further away from this place. The link was getting weaker and weaker. But to do that, we must remember this now, that to do that would have affected Abraham very deeply. It would have cut Abraham to his very heart. This was not an easy thing that the Lord was saying to him, to walk away from his country, to walk away from his family, to walk away from his father's house. You'll notice that three times over you have that little word "thy" used. It wasn't just a country. It was thy country. It wasn't just any kindred. It was thy kindred and thy father's house. Here were some things that belonged very specially to Abraham. Indeed, we could say they were part of him. They were his. It was his country, his father's house, something that no one else could share in. They were his in a very personal way. But yet the link had to be broken. God called his child to cut the tie, to break the link with those things that were so dear and personal to him. If you think of those words that are used there, country, kindred, and father's house, those are the things that men die and fight for. Men will gladly give up their lives for their country, gladly give up their lives for their family and for their father's house. They will make any sacrifice to preserve these things. They're so dear to the natural heart. And yet the Lord says to this child of God, if you're going to walk with me, then the link has to be broken. No matter how dear they are to you, Abraham, you're going to have to part with them. You're going to have to break the tie. Nothing else but these things had ever featured in his life before. Abraham had never known anything but his own country, but his own kindred, his own father's house. Nothing else had ever had any effect or any influence upon him. This was all his past life the Lord was talking about. It had to be left. He had to walk away from it. Just a simple command. It sounds so easy, but oh, how hard and difficult it was. This was something I believe that Abraham would be doing to the day he died, leaving those things behind. For they were dear to his natural heart. It was only natural that he should feel an attachment there, but yet it was the simple command of God to break the attachment, to break the link, to put the Lord first. I believe Abram had to do that until the day he died in his mind, even though he was sitting in Canaan. I'm sure there was many a day when he may have been tempted to go back in the hardness, tempted to think again, but he had to consciously break the link and obey God and walk after him. The Lord may not call us all to make this literal sacrifice. There are some he will call so to do, to leave home, maybe even to leave their own land, leave their families to go out after God. The Lord knows these things. That's in his will. That's in his plan for the individual. But if the Lord doesn't call us to do that literally, then there is, in one sense, this breaking and this cutting of the link that has to take place in the heart of every child of God. If you turn to Luke chapter 14 and the verse 26. We read there the words of Christ. Luke 14 and the verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now the word disciple, in one of the meanings of the word disciple is that he is to be a follower. And so what the Lord is saying here is you cannot follow the Lord until you put these things away. Now, when the Bible speaks of hating father and mother, obviously it doesn't mean what we normally would understand it to mean, because the command of God and the law is honor thy father and thy mother. The word hate in Scripture very often means simply just to love less, to put them in second place. And that's what it means here. If you're going to follow the Lord, if you're going to be his disciple, then you have to love your father and mother and wife and brothers and sisters and even your own self. You have to love them less. And you love the Lord. That's just exactly what God was calling Abram to do. Abram, you love me more than Ur. You love me more than this country. You love me more than your family. You love me more than your father's house, Abram. You come out after me. Walk with me. All these things have to give way to Christ. All the sinful influences of the world, all the natural yearnings and inclinations of the heart have to come second to the Lord if we are to walk with God. These things must be walked away from. But I want us to notice in closing the compensations of a walk with God. Yes, there are things to be given up. There are things to be sacrificed to the will of God. But the carnal mind and the will of the old heart will always concentrate on the things that have to be given up. How is it that whenever we think of serving God, the very first things we think of are those things that have to be given up? How often we hear the sinner, when he's called to Christ, wanting to come for salvation, "But I have to give up." How is it that those are the things we always think of first? Well, that's just the natural heart thinking, because it is the natural heart's natural thinking, just to dwell on the sacrifice, just to dwell on the things that must be given up. But walking with God is not unrewarded. There is a reward in walking after God. There is a reward in giving up these things for the Lord. The thought that Abraham was doing this for his own good is conveyed to us in the text. The Lord said, "Get thee out of thy country." Literally, those words mean, "Get thee out for thyself from thine own country." It's as if the Lord is saying to Abraham, "Abraham, you're going to act in your own best interests. You're going to be doing it for your own good if you leave your own country." The will of God is always for our good. It may seem a hard thing to do. It was hard for Abraham to think of this, but the Lord had said to him, "Abraham, you're going to be acting in your own best interests. You obey me, you'll be acting for your own good." The Lord had this reward for him. This was one of the compensations. It was going to be for his own good. You'll see that written into the very call of God to leave was the promise of a reward. It was part of a call. It wasn't something that the Lord tagged on later. No, from the very first moment, Abraham had the promise of a reward. You see, if we shorten the verse 1 a little, we can say, "The Lord said unto Abraham, walk out of thy country unto a land that I will show thee." You see, the Lord had called him to leave one country, but he had promised him another in the same breath. It's almost as if the Lord's saying, "I'll give you like for like." The two words are the same. The word country and land are exactly the same word. And the Lord's saying, "You leave this land, I'll give you a land over here. I'll give you another land." And although in one sense is like for like, yet how much better the Lord's land is than Ur. How much better the promised land would be for Abraham than the land he would leave behind. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, and the verse 29, we read these words again, are the words of Christ to his disciples. Matthew 19:29, "And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life." Now, what's the Lord saying? He's saying, "You give up these things, I'll give them to you a hundredfold." In a sense, he's saying, "I'll give you like for like, but I'll give you a hundredfold." Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times more than what you give up. The Lord always gives better. He always gives more than we have to give up for him. And yet, how hard it is to see that. We look at the sacrifice and that's all we see. And yet here the Lord has promised, written into the very call, "You leave this land, I'll give you a better one. I'll give you a better land." And such was the reward that the Lord gave him, that Abraham himself never wanted to go back. When it came to Isaac's day and there was a wife needed, Abraham said, "Don't you go back to the land. Don't you take my son back there. Don't want to go back. I don't want my family to go back." Why? Because he was happy in the land that the Lord gave him. He was better off in the land that the Lord gave him. The Lord had rewarded him so much that Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 15 tells us that they were not mindful of returning. They didn't make mention of returning. They never thought about returning. It didn't cross their minds to return. Why? Because God had brought them into a better land. The reward that the Lord gave them was 100-fold more and better than what he had to leave behind. This, of course, was both a physical and a spiritual promise for Abraham. It was spiritual in that he had in his heart a desire to enter into a heavenly country. He sought that city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. It was a physical promise because, of course, the Lord promised him the land that he stood on, the soil that he walked on. The Lord said, I'm going to give it to you. It was both physical and spiritual. But in our case, the spiritual promise is given. You leave, you give up the things of earth for me, I'll bring you to a country. A heavenly country, a heavenly city, and you'll find there a reward that not only lasts for time, but for eternity. You see the blessings that God gave Abraham in verses 2 and verse 3. What a reward it is that we've been looking at, that the Lord said, I'm going to give you another country. But that was only a small part of it. There were 6 more things mentioned in verses 2 and verse 3. Oh, the blessing of God, the superabundant blessing of the Lord that he gives to those who will walk with him, to those who will leave all behind, who will cut the tie with the world, who will take a separate stand for God and walk after him in obedience to his word. There's no reward like it anywhere. Abraham enjoyed these blessings from the day an hour he left Ur, from the moment he got into Canaan to the day he was buried in Machpelah, and all his life through, God rewarded him, and it didn't stop there. For the moment he closed his eyes in death, he opened his eyes in the heavenly country, and for all eternity, God will be rewarding Abram for his obedience to the call of God. In Genesis chapter 15, in the verse 1, we have the reward that Abram got described by the Lord himself. I am thy exceeding great reward. Exceedingly multiplied reward. All that God is, he gives himself to Abram. Now that is a reward that none other can offer. The world can't offer a reward like that. Oh, Ur could have offered Abraham many things, but after a few years they would have perished. Abram would have perished in the dust and the reward would have been gone. How much better to live for God, to lay up treasure in heaven as he did, and enter into that reward for all eternity. Just one verse in closing. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2. It's the verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. That's the reward of walking with God. You lack nothing. Psalm 34 and 10, David says, even the young lions shall lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. No good thing will he withhold from them that fear him. What a reward the Lord offers those who will walk with him. Will we obey his word? Put his word into practice, even though it means cutting ourselves to the very heart and leaving those things that we hold dear, those things in the world, those things that would hinder our walk with God. Will we break off the tie today? Walk with the Lord in obedience to his word and know the reward of God in our lives and in heaven for all eternity. We're going to close with